Hello and welcome to the Monday, October 28th edition of Juno Afternoon on KTOO News Juno. We've got a great show. We're going to get an informed update about the Juno Transit Plan update. We'll talk about pirates at the Goldtown Theater and on stage at Perseverance Theater. Jeff Reclow and Matt Littlig will be here to talk snow and Eagle Crest. And we'll get a special look at the State Office Building, Oregon, through producer Scott Burden's audio postcard, and we'll get a preview of Monday night KTOO TV airing of College Track with guest Katie Basler. That and much more. Stay tuned.
Reporting from the Federation of Natives Convention in Fairbanks, Alaska, I'm Sarah Gonzalez. Friday's session of AFN began with speeches from co-chair nominees, followed by the presentation of three annual awards. AFN President Julie Kitka bestowed the Citizen of the Year Award upon longtime Juno educator Tony Malott, who's originally from Rampart in the Yukon River region. The 2013 Denali Award honored Dr. Larry Kaplan, director of the University of Alaska Fairbanks Native Language Center, for his years of contributions in preserving and restoring Alaska Native languages. The AFN Elder of the Year Award was given to Robert Marshall of Chitna. Representative Bryce Edgman, chairman of the Bush Caucus, gave a report on activities in this year's session. He stated that the caucus was opposed to the oil tax cut and urged voters to educate themselves before the public vote on whether or not to repeal it next August. Edgman announced the introduction of a bill that would allow communities to decide whether or not to arm their village public safety officers, then wrapped up by stating that the Bush caucus is in support of the expansion of Medicaid.
In strong support, urging the governor to accept the Alaska's ability to enroll more people in the Medicaid program. In our view, there's no reason not to accept the tremendous amount of money that would come to the federal government.
How much money? $1.1 billion that would allow 40,000 more Alaskans over a seven-year period access to health care. In an emotional session Friday, Cynthia Erickson, a store owner from Tanana, took the stage along with a group of seven kids to tremendous applause to speak about what leads to suicide and what it will take to prevent it.
But the thing is, we can talk and we can talk and we can talk and we can meet here for another 50 years and we can continue to talk. But it's like we have seven people here today that are walking their talk. It's up to you guys to support these same seven children that are hurting from all of this.
The children held up handwritten signs with some of the problems they've seen firsthand: drugs, molestation, and alcohol. Each one spoke, sharing their own stories of suicide and abuse in their families. At the end, a young man read a pledge.
I pledge to live, honor, and protect myself from any harm, to love my life, my family, my friends, and my village. Today we stand together to stop suicide in Alaska.
The audience was visibly moved, with hundreds of audience members spontaneously streaming to the stage to give money in support of the young people and their anti-suicide message, while the traditional Tanana dance group began to sing. Senator Mark Begich took the stage next, recounting his recent travels around the state and saying he wants to help make sure tribes are recognized in Alaska. He says he supported the passing of the Affordable Care Act because it also ensured the reauthorization of the Indian Health Care Improvement Act. He voiced support for voting rights and the ability to vote in Alaska's indigenous languages. Members of the AFN Subsistence Committee formed at last year's convention discussed subsistence rights and protections. Myron Nanick, president of the Association of Village Council Presidents, explains the current plan for tribes along the Yukon and Kuskokwim Rivers to manage their own resources. What is the Intertribal Fishery Commission?
The Intertribal Fish Commission would be working with the tribes, and we're trying to get legislation introduced as a demonstration project that would allow our tribes to be involved in fishery management. Right now there are so many fish managers like the state and the feds that don't even include traditional knowledge or even include our tribes in any of the management systems, as well as the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council.
A champion of tribal fishing rights, Billy Frank Jr. from Washington, also spoke during the subsistence session. Reporting from Fairbanks, I'm Sarah Gonzalez.
AFN newscasts produced by Quahonic Broadcast Corporation. Major funding provided by the Siri Foundation, ConocoPhillips, South Central Foundation, Arctic Slope Regional Corporation, Donlin Gold, the Pebble Partnership, the Rasmussen Foundation, Jalista Corporation, and Manilik Association. You can help the broadcast by taking the AFN listener survey at knba.org. This is a production of KNBA, Quahonic Broadcast Corporation, and Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO News Juno. It's 3.05 p.m. I'm Joan Pardis, your Monday host. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. And as for the weather, today is mostly cloudy. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Tomorrow, rain likely throughout the week, and possible snow showers, maybe, on Friday night. Probably won't stick. So when we started the show, we talked about an informed update on the Juno Transit Plan, and we're definitely going to get an informed update on it right now, and you actually might be able to inform it yourself. But here in the studio, we have John Kern from Capital Transit, and we also have Paul Letty and Jeff Slater from Nelson Nightguard. Hi, guys. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
So, John, tell me about the transit plan. What is going on right now?
So Capital Transit is involved with the City and Borough of Juneau and the Community Development Department in preparing a transit development plan. And the plan is a five-year program for what we're going to do with Capital Transit. It includes everything from service on the street to capital projects. Capital projects are very important to us. Within the plan, it sets out the replacement schedule for the next 5 years. If you heard in the news just a couple of weeks ago, we just got funding for four replacement buses. Those were the four replacement buses that were last scheduled in our 2008 transit development plan. So we've been able to make every scheduled replacement during that period on time. Helps us keep good equipment on the streets and able to keep our service on the road. So
okay.
We're undertaking a transit development plan with the assistance of Nelson Nygaard. We've done a lot of data collection over the last 6 months and provided that on the in a variety of ways. We had some public meetings recently, and also on the website we have our comprehensive operations analysis, which details all this information we put together. So the next phase is developing alternatives for the future, and that's what we're all about this week.
Okay. And before we get into talking to the consultants, I want to say that tomorrow night from 4:30 to 6:30 and Wednesday, the same time, Tuesday night, there will be a meeting in the Valley Library at the Valley Library, and then on Wednesday will be the Downtown Library. And at these meetings, you'll have a time to comment on the new proposals, and also to actually look at maps and such at the proposals, and of course be informed about the proposals. So let's talk a little bit about the process. Paul, you've been a consultant on the whole process. What is the process like, and what have you found?
Well, what we found so far, I mean, we've done a lot, as John mentioned, we did a lot of evaluation of the existing system. We've done a lot of public outreach. We've got input from riders and non-riders, and basically what we've heard is, or what we've discovered through this process is that there's some while the system is has a lot high ridership and is very productive, it means it's carrying a lot of people per hour of service out there, there are some issues that we would like to address as part of this study. And those are largely related to operational issues, making sure that the buses are running on schedule, a few other little tweaks like getting the express route to the Downtown Transportation Center and a little bit further into downtown. But also to serve some new areas that we've heard that there's demand for, like Riverside Drive, like the Costco and Home Depot.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Jeff, you've been on the project as well. What can you add?
No, that's correct. I have been on the project as well. And I think that I'd just like to reiterate that this is a really good system in a lot of respects and, arguably one of the better small systems in the country. But there are some issues, and there are some places that should be served that aren't served, and our charge has been to try to do everything within the existing budget, which is really difficult. And so what we've come up with and what we'll be presenting tomorrow night are some scenarios on how to address many but not all of the problems. And we have determined that to address all of the problems and all of the new demand that's out there, additional resources are needed. Costco has been a real challenge to us. It's clear that people want to go there. We can't squeeze that into the existing valley route without another bus. The ferry terminal is another place that people have talked a lot about wanting to go to. And we do have some scenarios that would extend service out to the ferry terminal, not quite as much as we would like, but we would get out there with two of the three scenarios.
So how do you decide what scenario to go with? So I'm sure you want to have people tomorrow night and Wednesday night, you probably want it to be a two-way information exchange, that you want to tell people what you found and also find out from them what's most important.
Yeah, and I think what we'll find is that there are going to be elements of the different scenarios that people are going to like, some that they're not going to like. And so our charge next is to take that input and to craft sort of a preferred scenario to move forward with and to put into the transit development plan.
Okay.
And I'll just add that, you know, this is a combination of us determining what would work well for the system, but a lot of it has to do with local priorities. So what we want to do is match up really what will work best for the system and what's most important for people. And that's really the point of the meetings tomorrow night, is so that we do have different options on ways to do things, and we want to do the one that works the best and would be the best received.
Right. So these meetings are where the data meets the actual public comment.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
So to really have an informed look at it and find out what the need is, if people's needs actually coincide with the data, because you'll have also the comments. You have the people to be really there to talk about what is their most valuable services. What's up, Joe?
Well, part of what we've been about in background analysis has also been collecting people's wants and wishes for the system in terms of onboard surveys and surveys online that have gathered a lot of information about what people would like to see in the transit system. Earlier service, later services come up, service to certain areas of the communities, and more service on weekends. So we're seeing a lot of the same issues, but we're seeing some new ones as well with service to Riverside and Costco, which are areas that are seeing more development recently.
Okay.
Especially with the new library going in at Riverside.
And everything that's out there right now. So
yeah.
I'm happy you brought up the online component, because, you know, I know a lot of us sit around the dinner table and we talk about the things that we don't like in our town, in the world, so on and so forth. This is the time where people are really seeking your comment, where you may be able to affect some change. So if you can't get to either of those meetings, you can weigh in your opinion at junotransitplan.org. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay, so there's a place for you to talk about what you'd like and so on and so forth. And, of course, we want to be as constructive as possible, because this is the time for you to get input, because it seems, and I'm going to make sure with our panel here, that the draft should actually take shape in December and implementations might start next year. Is that true?
Yeah, we would work on the draft, present the draft back to the assembly for adoption, and then once we get an adoption, the implementation comes through the annual budget process and through the statewide transportation improvement program, which the plan would be submitted to.
And it's a five-year plan. Like you were just saying that you just received replacement buses, which was the tail end of your five-year plan, so it might not all roll out in the next year, but there's a strategic plan of how to meet the needs.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming in today. So once again, those meetings are tomorrow night at the Viley Library, 4:30 to 6:30. Downtown is 4:30 to 6:30 at the Downtown Library. There is a future service maps that you can actually see what they're talking about. Your input is definitely appreciated, and you'll get very informed about what's going on with the transit system. So thank you once again.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Juno Afternoon. It's 3:17 p.m. in Alaska's capital city. You're listening to KTOO News Juno. I'm in the studio with some pirate mongers, I think, Amy Hawk and Tom Robinot, and they're both from Perseverance, and they are Perseverance Theater, and they are here to talk about a very special event that's happening tonight and tomorrow night at the Goldtown Theater. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
We're not going to do any pirate talk. Oh, we can
talk
about pirate talk.
Okay.
So let's talk about it. It's not going to be scary. I think it's going to be Muppet Treasure Island.
Tonight and tomorrow night at the Goldtown Nickelodeon Theater at 7 p.m., we are having a special showing of Muppet Treasure Island, which apparently is actually kind of not easy to get the rights for. So we were excited that Colette could do that. And we're going to be having a little, some door prizes. If you dress in any kind of pirate costume, you get free popcorn. Everybody's going to be entered in to win free tickets to Perseverance Theater's Treasure Island, to the Goldtown Theater. We've got some other great prizes. So it's a fun little way to get you in the mood for the real live Treasure Island that's going to be happening next month.
Right, and it's Halloween, so
that's
it's time
right.
to do that. So the Who, What, Where, and When is tonight and tomorrow night at the Goldtown Nickelodeon. And it's at 7 o'clock. It's $10 for adults, $8 for seniors, $6 for kids, and there's a family package for $28 for a family of four. And as Amy said, door prizes and ticket giveaways and the Muppets doing
and
Treasure
Tim
Island.
Curry.
I know. I looked at the picture here. She brought in the flyer, and I was like, I'm pretty sure that's Tim Curry. And it is indeed Tim Curry. So that's great. So that's really just the preview of what's happening on stage live at the Perseverance Theater starting November 8th. Is that right, Tom?
That's correct. Yes, ma'am.
So Tom's here wearing two hats. He's really only physically wearing one hat. But he's here as the marketing director of Perseverance Theater, and he's also an actor in the show.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
And Anita Maynard-Losh, who's a favorite of Juno people. She was the associate director here for a long time at the theater, and she's now working at the arena stage. She's come back, and she's directing it.
She has, yeah.
Okay, and it's a cast of many.
It's a cast of, I believe it's 10 now, yeah.
Right. Some from Juno.
Some from Juno, some from Dan is back from Seattle, so he's back, but mainly it's Juno, yeah.
Okay. So how's it going over there?
It's going great. We're about a month in rehearsals. We've got 2 weeks left, or just a little under 2 weeks before we open. We've got our preview this Sunday coming up, and we're getting there. Yeah, we're getting ready. We're spacing in the big stage. We just moved from the Phoenix, which is our smaller stage area, and things are really coming together. Yesterday we had Jessica Jacobs from Anchorage, and she has choreographed all the fights, and the fights are, I mean, we spent 10 hours yesterday on the fights. I mean, it's a huge show with a lot of fighting, and that's really great stuff that's going on stage, and real big, huge battles between a lot of cast members, and then a couple of duels, and yeah, it's going really well.
What I see in my mind is people like rolling on the floor. I'm
like,
are you okay?
Are
you guys
is.
Okay?
You're making great use of that set,
yeah,
aren't you?
And there's times where people are climbing about 10, 15 feet up in the air and fighting, and somebody gets their leg cut, and people fall off. Get shot off of the wall and then off the deck, and it's just, I mean, it's huge.
Okay, it might not sound like it, but boy, does this sound like a family friendly. Like, I can just imagine the kids loving it. In the intimate theater of Perseverance
mm-hmm.
Theater,
yeah.
Not the they have even more intimate. It's on the big stage, but it's such an intimate
oh,
theater.
Oh,
that
every seat is a great seat.
Yeah.
So,
all
oh my gosh,
sure.
It sounds like fun.
Yeah.
So, and I guess as an actor, it must be really fun to be able to do a classic like that.
Oh, yeah, there's great characters in it, from Long John Silver to Mad Ben Gunn, and then there's Israel Hands, and I play Trelawney, this buffoon of a character who I believe is played by Fozzie in Muppet Treasure
Island.
I think
you're right.
Oh, you and Fozzie.
Yeah, you know.
What a coincidence.
Yeah. Who would have thunk it? And then I also play Billy Bones, the big pirate at the beginning. So, yeah, there's just these incredible characters from the novel that just really stand out. And they're these larger-than-life characters, but they're still grounded. They're real people. They're, you know, there's a lot of, even though it's such a really nice, spectacle, there's also some really good, really nice, like, personal, true moments in the show that Ken Ludwig, who translated the script, and from the book into the script, he's done such a great job of keeping a personal level to it, but yet keeping that real big adventurous part of it as well.
And preserving the language, as the yes. Robert Louis Stevenson's language, Ken Ludwig adapted almost directly from the book. So there's a lot of that great old language in there.
That sounds great. So what are the dates of that? So this is the Perseverance Theater Treasure Island. It's definitely family friendly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And after the last play, which was Gods of Carnage, which was not family friendly. This one is it was definitely adult content and it was
yes.
terrific. But this is family friendly. So this is November 8th till December 8th.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, are there tickets still left?
There are tickets left, but it is starting to sell pretty well. So I would suggest getting online or calling Perseverance up and getting those tickets as soon as you can, because it's starting to snowball.
Because there's pirates in
Douglas. Because there's pirates.
Pirates on Douglas
pirates
Island.
And fights and all that wonderful
stuff. Okay, but
stuff.
Before they go to Douglas Island tomorrow night, there'll be pirates at the Gold Town Nickelodeon.
And tonight,
oh
yeah.
my, what is Colette going to be wearing?
Okay, good.
Dress like a pirate and you get a
free
bag
popcorn.
Of popcorn.
Free bag of popcorn. Okay, Muppet Treasure Island tomorrow at...
And tonight.
Gold Town Nickelodeon, 7 p.m. tonight and tomorrow. Door prizes, tickets, sounds like a party, you know, giveaway, so on and so forth. And then starting November 8th, there's Treasure Island at Perseverance, and the preview is this Sunday.
Okay.
Thanks so much for coming. Oh, wait, before we go, how do people get tickets?
They can go online at perseverancetheater.org, or they can call 456-TIXS, T-I-X-S.
There we are, aren't we? Like, isn't Juno happening? Here we have our own little ticket hotline.
Yeah.
You want to say that one more time?
456 TIXS.
Okay, great.
And for Treasure Island at the door.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I bet you want to get there a little early.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a pretty big hit.
Nice crowd.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be a very quiet crowd.
Right.
All righty. Thanks for coming.
Thanks,
all right,
Joan.
Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday, the 28th of October, 2013. It's the birthday of the convicted murderer and best-selling detective novelist Anne Parry, born Juliet Holm in London, 1938. She had tuberculosis. She was sent away to live in the Bahamas, then South Africa, then rejoined her family when she was 13 after her father got a job in New Zealand, where she became close friends with a classmate, Pauline Parker. They wrote letters to each other daily, created an elaborate fantasy world together. They were both working on novels. They planned to run away to New York together, find publishers, make the books into Hollywood movies. And then Juliet's parents decided to leave New Zealand and go back to South Africa. And the two girls were horrified. They begged for Pauline to be able to move to South Africa too. And Juliet's parents said, okay, she could come with them, as long as it was okay with the Parkers. But Pauline Parker's mother refused to give her permission, and the two teenage girls decided that Pauline's mother was ruining their lives, and she needed to be killed. And so they did. They invited her to go on a walk in the park. They bashed her head in with a brick, went back to the tea house where they had had lunch. They were covered in blood. They were arrested. Juliet was 15, Pauline 16. A murder that shocked New Zealand. They were sentenced to an indefinite prison sentence, released about 5 years later under the condition that they never contact each other. The girl who had been Juliet Holm changed her name to Anne Perry, converted to Mormonism, settled in a remote Scottish village, published a murder mystery in 1978 called The Cater Street Hangman, wrote a detective series, and then in 1994, the Parker Holm murder case inspired a movie, Heavenly Creatures, starring Kate Winslet as Juliet. A reporter wrote a story about the film, discovered not only that Juliet was still alive, but she was a best-selling, world-famous writer named Anne Perry, who has written more than 50 novels, and who said of her writing, "It is vital for me to go on exploring moral matters." It was on this day in 1886 the Statue of Liberty was officially unveiled and opened to the public. There was a big ceremony in front of the statue, which was under a veil. The sculptor Frederic Auguste Bartholdi was alone in the crown of the statue, waiting for the signal to drop the veil. A speaker was droning on, and Bartholdi mistook the signal, dropped the veil, and the speaker sat down. And it's the birthday of Evelyn Waugh, born in London, 1903, author of Bride's Head Revisited and many other novels. Here's a poem for today by Liesl Mueller, entitled Things. What happened is we grew lonely living among the things, so we gave the clock a face, the chair a back, the table four stout legs, which will never suffer fatigue. We fitted our shoes with tongues as smooth as our own and hung tongues inside bells so we could listen to their emotional language. And because we loved graceful profiles, the pitcher received a lip, the bottle a long, slender neck. Even what was beyond us was recast in our image. We gave the country a heart, the storm an eye, the cave a mouth, so we could pass into safety. Liesl Mueller's poem Things from Alive Together, published by Louisiana State University Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Produced by Joy Biles with assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well. Do good work and keep in touch.
Tonight on 360 North, enjoy 2 hours of news and Alaska weather beginning at 6. At 8 o'clock, it's Out of the Blue, Shaking Seasonal Affective Disorder on Science for Alaska, followed at 9 by The Misunderstood Epidemic, Depression. 12 Americans explain in their own words the realities of living with depression and the pros and cons of different treatment methods. Healthy Body, Healthy Mind is at 10. Tonight on 360 North and 360north.org.
Hello, this is Juno Afternoon on KTOO News Juno. It is 3:30 p.m. I'm Joan Pardis, your Monday host. Jeff Brown is the engineer and producer of the show. We're going to listen to something very special now. Since 1928, Junoites have enjoyed the reverberating sound of the historic Kimball Theater organ. After a handful of moves from its original home at the Coliseum Theater on South Franklin Street, the organ now lives on the 8th floor of the State Office Building, where it's been since 1977. Thanks to a group of dedicated volunteers, the organ continues to entertain almost every Friday at noon. KTOO Scott Burden attended Friday's concert with organist T.J. Duffy and brings us this Halloween-inspired audio postcard.
My name's T.J. Duffy. I moved here from Nashville, Tennessee 5 years ago. I just moved to Juneau, fell in love with it. I live right next door. I found out they had a theater organ here, and I was a music minor in college and an organist since I was 13. So when I found out it was here, I asked the state if I could play it, and they said, sure. Today I'm going to be playing Halloween music. I'm going to start with Toccata and Fugue in D minor by Bach, which is the quintessential Halloween song, but I don't know the fugue anymore, so I'm going to fake that middle part. And then also a well-known song by Bach called Come Sweet Death, which seems appropriate for Halloween. It's very dark, very gloomy, very gothic. And then maybe some Pink Floyd and Metallica. A very historic instrument. It's a 1928 Kimball theater organ. Theater organs are very rare. This is the only one that is public and working in Alaska. There's only a few dozen throughout the United States. They were all the rage during the silent film era. They were used to provide live accompaniment for silent films with things like sound effects like sleigh bells, triangle, wood block, and drums. So it's all operated by air, like other pipe organs. This organ has a little over 500 pipes. It's also got other sound effects like a tambourine, which I can't reach. But it's got bird whistles, xylophone, glockenspiel, as well as the regular pipes like flutes, trumpets. And those big pipes back there, I call those the equivalent of a subwoofer in 1928. It mimics the sound of a 32-foot pipe, which just adds rumble.
Darola, and I try to keep track of when TJ is going to play because he's my favorite. I love his music, and he's so extraordinary because most of the time he doesn't even have sheet music. He's got it all memorized, and it's just delightful. And he has such a variety of music that he plays that it's always interesting, and it's always fun, and many times touching.
Okay, and then this Friday at the noon hour, J. Allen McKinnon will be playing that organ. It's the Friday noontime concert. Bring a lunch, bring a friend, and check it out because it is a great sound. It is a really, really fun event. So you are listening to Juno Afternoon. It is Monday, October 28th. I'm Joan Partis. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. And in the studio right now are some people thinking snow, snow, snow. Matt Lillard and Jeff Reclow from Eagle Crest.
Hey, thanks for having us this afternoon.
Oh, thank you for coming in. It kind of feels like snow today. I don't know.
It does. There's a little snow up on top of the mountains. It's going to start working its way down.
Yeah, I know. I know we need like a good 10 degrees colder, but it still is, if not more, but it still is kind of feeling like snow. It kind of looks like snow, feels like snow. So what's the story here? Powders Magazine, Ski Throwdown. We're in it. Juno's in it.
Yeah, exactly. Igor Skiri is part of the big Powder Magazine Ski Town Throwdown. So we're up against Whistler Blackcomb Ski Area, and it's kind of an NCAA bracket type setup where you compete against a certain ski area each round if you do move on. And today's our day to get out voting, and as of right now, it's going really well, and it's just showing all the Juno people coming out in support of Eagle Crest.
Okay, let's back this up a second so I can really understand. So Powder Magazine has this ski throwdown, and it's by, like, regions, and that we're competing against region, you know, other ski areas in our region. And then as you get the most votes, it just kind of keeps on going from bracket to bracket to bracket. You're competing against one or two ski areas at the time to become the ski area of the region, according to Powder Magazine? Is that
well, ultimately the country. That's our goal. We're going to go all the way. But, yeah, each round it dwindles down, and you so you go up against a resort, and whichever two in that area win, then you move on to the next, and eventually it whittles down to just one winner.
Okay. And so you said today is the day. Is this the only day?
For this round, yeah.
Oh, okay. So we have to get out there. How do we do it? How do we vote for Eagle Crest?
Well, if you go to the Eagle Crest Facebook page, this is Facebook. So if you go to the Eagle Crest Facebook page, you can find a link. You click on that link, and then that'll come up with the voting page, and you either vote for, hopefully not, for Whistler or for Eagle Crest. And as Matt said, we've been doing really well. Well, just a little bit ago we looked, and we were about 100 votes ahead of Whistler. So we're pretty excited. Got about 7 more hours to go. in the voting. And this is some of the top, well, not just some, but the top ski areas around the country are in this. And they broke it up into four different regions, and we're the, I can't remember what they call us, the Great White North area or something like that. So
I think it was. We were the red region. Mm-hmm. So, Juno Afternoon listeners, did you hear that? We were 100 votes up about an hour ago for this contest between us and Whistler, Eagle Crest and Whistler. So come on, Juno Afternoon, let them check when you leave. Matt and Jeffrey should check where we are, and that spike should go way up. Come on, let's vote for Eagle Crest.
It's really fun, and it certainly gets the Eagle Crest name and the Juno name out there. And everybody's having fun with it. I know all of us at work today are having a good time watching it. And,
hey, if Petersburg could get the yachting, you know, they were voted the best yachting town in America. Why can't Eagle Crest be the best ski town, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's great fun, and I think especially when you go to vote, check out all the comments, because a lot, you know, all the passionate skiers and for Eagle Crest are out there, and it just gives you kind of that warm fuzzy feeling about Juneau and Eagle Crest and, you know, kind of what it is for the community to come together and vote for something like this. And it's some great marketing material, I think, for us.
Yeah.
But just the comments are great, too. So, you know, keep commenting and tell everybody about how great Eagle Crest is and vote.
So yeah. One more time, go to the Eagle Crest Facebook page, find the link, and vote for Eagle Crest. And so speaking of Eagle Crest, what's going on when you guys open? I mean, I know it's snow-dependent, but when are you slotted to open?
Yes, we're looking. Our scheduled opening day is Saturday, December 7th. So we're hoping it starts cooling down here. The snow starts moving down the mountains. And, you know, traditionally around Halloween, we hopefully get our first snow. And then after that, it just keeps coming. So we'll see how it happens this year. You know, if we get snow early and often, we'll try to go a little earlier. And if not, we just wait for snow.
Great. And is the preseason still happening as far as season passes?
It is. The early bird sale is on through November 2nd. And so we'll be at the Warren Miller movie on Wednesday at Centennial Hall. We'll be selling season passes and then, of course, watching the Warren Miller movie, which is always great fun to get excited about skiing and snowboarding. And then we'll be at the annual Juno Ski Club, Juno Ski Patrol ski sale at Centennial Hall on Saturday.
So, okay.
Busy week ahead of us.
Absolutely. So that Warren Miller movie is going to be on Wednesday at Centennial Hall, and that's 5:30 and 8 p.m. And then the ski sale is Saturday, and the drop off is typically Friday.
Their drop off is Thursday and Friday, and then also Saturday morning. And all of this information is on our website at skijuno.com. It's just on the home page there, and you just click on the slider that you want, and you'll find all this information, including the Powder Magazine Ski Town Throwdown.
Sounds great. And I do want to compliment you on the website. I think the website's great. Like during the winter, we always go to it and we get a real accurate picture of, oh, it's raining down there, but it's snowing at Eagle Crest. Let's go.
Yep. And one neat feature that we've just had and we're trying to get the word out is we have a mobile feature now that has the snow conditions and everything that's going on. So if you go to our homepage and you see the smartphone icon, and click on that. That'll take you directly to our mobile site.
All right. Sounds great. So one more time. Today is the day that people could vote between Eagle Crest and Whistler for Powder's Magazine Ski Town Throwdown. So go to the Facebook page, Eagle Crest Facebook page, and put Juno on the map. We already know we're on the map, but let's get a bigger dot.
That's what we're working for. So we ask everybody's help and help us get out there and vote.
That sounds great. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Bird Note. A familiar sound of spring. A woodpecker hard at work, carving out a nest hole in a tree trunk. Here, the female will lay her eggs, and the pair will raise their young. When you're lucky, you can hear young woodpeckers, like these pileated woodpeckers, begging from within the trunk. But now that fall has arrived, we may hear an excavating sound again. What's going on? It turns out that some woodpecker species stay year-round in the region where they nest, while others migrate south in winter. Those that remain through the colder months, well, it's safe to say they're not nesting now. No, these fall excavators are chiseling out roosting cavities, snug hollows, where they'll shelter during the cold nights of fall and winter. Many woodpeckers roost in such cavities, usually by themselves. Even the young, once they're fledged, have to find their own winter quarters. With woodpeckers, once the nights turn cold, It's every bird for itself. Writers for BirdNote include Bob Sundstrom, Ellen Blackstone, Todd Peterson, Dennis Paulson, and Chris Peterson. Our producer is John Kessler. Adam Sedgley finds the bird sounds, which are provided by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. For BirdNote, I'm Mary McCann.
You've been patiently waiting, and it's finally here. November Gold Street Music features Craven Kirk, Keith Heller and Andy Ferguson, Mary DeSmet and Greg Berger, the Taku Gales, and the Sean McColl Band. Hear them all on Saturday, November 2nd at 7:30 p.m. at Resurrection Lutheran Church. Tickets available at the door. For more info, call Elba at 500-4550. Gold Street Music, it's your musical community.
That music was Liz Story. You are listening to Juno Afternoon on Monday, October 28th. It is 3:47 p.m. I'm Joan Partis. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. I want to read this PSA. Southeast Alaska Organization for Animals invites you to the Dessert and Silent Auction fundraiser November 2nd from 6 to 9 in the upstairs room at the Viking. Lots of items to bid on, plus delicious baked goods from fellow Juneau residents. This is a free family event. Children must be accompanied by parents. There's no horse bar, no host bar, and music for all to enjoy. More information at AKSOFA.org, Southeast Alaska Organization for Animals fundraiser this Saturday night. In the studio with me now is Katie Bosler from UAS, and we are here to talk about something that's going to be on 360 North this evening. Hi, Katie.
Actually, it's going to be on KTOO tonight.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
KTOO.
Yeah, it already ran on 360 North last spring.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
And what it is, it's Alaska College Track 3, which is a documentary, part 3 of a series of following students who graduated from Southeast Alaska high schools in 2004 and are now well into adulthood and making their way through their college careers through the University of Alaska. And so this tells their stories, where they're at now. But kind of the main theme of the piece is that they're also really working to preserve and rebuild their culture and learn their native language. And so some of the students are you know, still don't have that degree, but they're getting close.
Okay. And this is about the people that you followed are Yakutat residents and Heidelberg residents.
Right, right. We have a Yakutat resident, Amanda Bremner, who is now actually in charge of Tlingit teaching in the schools for the Yakutat tribe in Anchorage, in Yakutat. And she graduated in 2011. She has quite a fascinating story. And then her good friends and neighbors, Ralph and Gloria Wolf, who are UAS students, and they are now actually parents of a couple of great little boys, and they're still working on their degrees. The main kind of running piece or theme through the documentary is the totem pole raising in 2011 at UAS, and what a huge effort that was, pretty much initiated by and carried out by students, which was a real first, I think, kind of historic thing in Southeast Alaska.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
So this
yeah.
College Track 3, I want to talk a little bit about the documentary series. So
okay.
College Track 3, this is the third installment.
Correct.
Following the same students from Yakutat and Heidelberg.
Yes, yeah. And then the two students from Heidelberg are Ben and Marita Young. Ben is the brother of the Young brothers, who are totem pole carvers right now, and they also carve the pole out at UAS.
Oh, that's great. That's
yeah,
great.
Yeah,
so this is really
yeah.
a look at local
yeah.
people. I mean, not necessarily Juneau,
yeah.
but here in Southeast,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
their arc from high school to
yeah.
where they are right now.
Yeah, and the way that the kind of thing that's kind of interesting about what's happening tonight is this Alaska College Track 3 is following an independent lens broadcast of a documentary called The Graduates, which tells the stories of Latino and Latina high school graduates and what a big deal that is for their families and their path. And then immediately following that broadcast will be this Alaska College Track 3. And the reason I say we came full circle is that this whole thing started with a grant to KTOO-TV in 2004 when I was working as a contract producer, where we went to Heidelberg, Yakutat, Klawak, Craig, and Huna, and you know, met these students who had just graduated from high school in 2004 and talked to them about their vision for themselves, their hopes and dreams. And then, again, we found some of the same students in 2007 and, you know, kind of documented where they're at that point, which now was 6 years ago. And so started working at UAS, I hired Pat Race of Lucid Reverie to produce this Alaska College Track 3. And it's just a really beautiful piece. I'd highly recommend it to people to watch tonight. It's very well done.
Right, and it is on Alaska Public Media. So we went from 360 North to K2 to Alaska Public Media, which, of course, is K2TOO, but it's also KAKM and KYUK, and it's tonight at 10 p.m., and it follows that film that you were talking about, and
Book
it's really interesting just to follow the arcs of young students, going from one place to another, you know, as far as their transition into the real world.
Yeah, and the main thing that most of them have in common is that they're, you know, first in their family college students. And my assumption is that the PBS piece that will precede Alaska College Track is probably about students who are on their way to become first-time college students from Latino and Latinas.
Okay, that's great. Yeah. That's great. And it's so great to have a resource like UAS throughout Southeast.
Yes.
So that is really wonderful.
Yeah.
And these students, just out of curiosity, the Yakutat residents and the Heidelberg residents, students, did they come to campus here in Juneau, or did they do some online version, or
Yakutat
little bit of both?
Students did both. They were both on campus and online. The Heidelberg, Ben and Marita Young, Ben did a very interesting thing. He was actually a student at UAF. But he studied Haida with his grandfather, who died at the age of 102 a couple years ago as part of his, you know, linguistic studies at UAF. And then his wife, Marita, did get her AA in aviation, so she flies planes, and she's actually working flying planes now down in Missouri. And Ben is actually finishing up his degree there. So they've all had quite a path.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
So if you want to find out more, that is 10 p.m. tonight on Alaska Public Media. So, Katie, you're hosting Tidelines tonight at 5 at KRNN.
Yes.
What are you going to play tonight?
Well, tonight, Lou Reed, who is, for music aficionados and rock and roll fans, is quite an icon. So I'll be playing some of his music. And some of the Velvet Underground. I also have some new music from Tim Easton and John Elliott, both quite the troubadours who have visited Juneau through Folkfest or through other means. I always play your old favorites and lots of new music as well. So there should be some good stuff in store for Halloween and fall themes. And if anybody has any requests, they can always call me. Between 5 and 7 at 586-1212.
Right. So Katie is hosting her show Tidelines at 5 p.m. at KRNN. And the work that she did on College Track 3, which was produced by Pat Race of Lucid Reverie here in town, and highlights the path of Southeast residents from Yakutat and Heidelberg on their path from high school to college and beyond. That's tonight at 10 o'clock.
Right. Pretty much where they are in their college path at this point. Yeah.
That sounds great. All right. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you.
With the weather turning and the holidays upon us, the Glory Hole is starting preparations for their annual Thanksgiving basket. You can help to make someone's holiday a little brighter with a donation of turkeys, cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes, canned vegetables, butter, or gravy. Items can be dropped off at either the Glory Hole or St. Vincent de Paul. To receive a basket, please contact the Glory Hole or St. Vincent's prior to November 18th at 586-4159. This message brought to you by the Glory Hole.
Hello, it is the end of our show. You've been listening to Juneau Afternoon. I am Joan Partis. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. We've had really a very interesting show today. And as far as the highlights, there's been so many, but as far as what to do, there's that transit plan meeting, Valley tomorrow, Valley Library and Downtown Library on Wednesday. You could also throw in your opinions online, JunoTransitPlan.org. And then Treasure Island, Muppet Treasure Island, is at the Goldtown Nickelodeon tonight and tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And Treasure Island opens November 8th at Perseverance Theater. Excuse me. As far as weather, tonight chance of rain in the evening, then rain late. Tomorrow, rain likely, and that's both for during the day and at night. Wednesday, rain, highs around 46, southeast wind 10 miles per hour. Wednesday night, rain, lows around 42. Thursday, rain, that's Halloween, highs around 45. And Thursday night and Friday, rain likely, lows around 40. So maybe it won't be raining on Halloween. We shall see. Tomorrow, Martha Moore hosts Juneau Afternoon. She'll be talking with Ken Fix about this week's planetarium presentation. She'll also be talking with Marion Manning about her first Friday show at the Camflet. Canvas. Plus, we'll highlight November art classes with Chris Taylor. Deidre Darr will offer details about activities celebrating the 75th anniversary of the Shrine of St. Teresa. And Hillary Young from Juno Youth Services and the Juno School District will be here with students to talk about the Sources of Strength program. Thank you for sharing your day with us. You could listen to this show or any other show on KTOO at ktoo.org. Have a great day.
This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown.